nice, and I hope that I will remain audible. So, yes, the plan of this is somewhat twofold. So yes, I'm going to talk about user extensible sequences in Common Lisp. The idea is to provide a compatible extension that people can go away and use. There are snags. But my talk will introduce and motivate this idea and talk about what a sequence is, at least in my terms, and I'll obviously relate that to what a Common Lisp sequence is. I'll talk about the specific design issues, because what I've done is separated out an implementation of what I want to do from all possible implementations that you can imagine. And I'll talk about the design issues, and then there's some future work to be done. So why might you want to do this? Well, have you ever seen something like foo position if, or size, or DOM colon length, or anything like that in code? I did a brief scan of the various bits of code that are on my hard drive. And it's by no means exhaustive, but I found these examples. So the FlexiChain library, which is a gap buffer data structure thing, has elements, and element star, which are basically length and ELT in sequence terms. Climax has size, and it indeed has buffer position if. I'm not sure if that's in the public code or my own mutant version, but that was a bit of a surprise. Ease library, class implementation of various different kinds of binary trees, has these weird, they're shadowed, they're not the Common Lisp versions, obviously. It has reduce and position, as well as the size of a tree. Arthur Lemons' rucksack library defines some persistent data structures, so he has a persistent list and a persistent array, and so he has a persistent version of length and a persistent version of replace. A persistent version of delete if, and there's a little comment above these code saying partial implementation, to do, complete, finish. XML parsers and API libraries, I don't have XMLisp, but I do have an XML parser that does document object model stuff, and it has length and item. And there are these common themes. So the idea the idea that drove this was to identify the simple building blocks of sequence structures and make it easy to have on user-defined data structures the vast range of the Common Lisp sequence library transparently and interoperably. That's the plan. And you know, we believe that Lisp is a programmable programming language. We can do everything in Lisp, right? So let's actually put our money where our mouth is. But there's a kind of meta-motivation. Some people think that if you have two Lispers in one room, then you have three opinions on where the language should go. I'm going to try to motivate this as kind of an unambiguously good thing that has no bad consequences at all. I'm not completely convinced by that myself, but if you believe it, then I will start believing it too, and then we can do something. So I'm going to try to sell you this as a good plan. All right, so sequences. Well, in Common Lisp terms, sequences are finite, ordered collections of elements. That's not the same as the Wikipedia definition. That's fine. You don't want to believe anything you read on Wikipedia anyway. It's actually probably not even the same as the US government's definition, but that's okay. For our purposes, lists and vectors are Common Lisp sequences that the Common Lisp standard defines. They have a size, a length, so they've got to be finite because length returns an integer, and the elements are addressable by integers going up to most positive fixed number or array dimension limit or something. So we have these finite collections addressable by elements. And so there are some examples of concrete data types that satisfy that requirement, not all of which are in common Lisp to standard. So the linked list and the vector, obviously, we all know, we all love them, we all use them, and we all build complicated data structures out of them. But some of the complicated data structures that we build are also sequences by this definition. So the doubly linked list, a queue, a gap buffer, these things are all finite ordered collections. DOM nodes, they're kind of collections of children. They have a size, you can address their elements by integer. Compiler basic blocks, that's kind of a bit of a twisted example, but I did ask some Dylan people whether they used their protocol, and they kind of said all the time. Basically, as soon as they have something that looks a little bit like a sequence, they turn it into a sequence, because why not? And I'm sure that you can think of other examples as well. So yes, sequence fundamentals. If you have a sequence object, so the terminology begins to become a bit difficult, because there are going to be multiple overloading meanings of words. So the sequence abstract data type and the common Lisp sequence concrete type, well, concrete abstract type, it's a bit complicated. The common Lisp sequence objects that are type B sequence, had better be acceptable input to the functions length, elt, and set elt. If we can't do that, then we go home. But if that's all that we can do, then we go home too, because that's not very exciting. The point about working with sequences in common Lisp is that some very clever people about 20 years ago sat down and thought, well, what do we do with sequences? And we do all sorts of exciting things, like count things in them, find things in them, work out the positions of things in them, sort them, fill them with new data, map into them, remove stuff from them, delete stuff from them, remove duplicates, and even exciting things like map, coerce, and concatenate. All of these things are sequence functions, and there are zillions that I haven't included on that slide, right? So, to support all of those extra library functions, you need a little bit more than just length, elt, and setelt. And so there are two other fundamental operations. Now, you can kind of divide up the space in many ways, but this is the way that I've decided to divide up the space of operations that you need to support on sequences. One is kind of obvious. You need to be able to make a new sequence of a given type. So my operator is called make sequence like. The idea is that you make a sequence like another sequence. The other thing that you need to do is sometimes you need to adjust an existing sequence destructively. You probably never actually really need to, in the sense that you have the liberty, according to the standard, that delete and so on, never ever, you can't assume that they change the structure of the object that you've given them. But it's an operation that is common and that we want to support. So we adjust sequence. That's kind of like adjust array, if you're familiar with the scary corners of the standard functions. And that's it. So now I'm going to talk to you a little bit in broader terms about the design and the particular things that I was trying to allow users and implementers and so on to assume and achieve. So obviously, an extension is only any good if it's useful. So we'd better make it useful, and we'd better make it convenient, because otherwise people will just say, oh, well, do I have to? It would be much easier if I just defined myself a whole bunch of operators, only the operators that I need, and then, you know, if anyone else needs any other operators, they can go away and implement themselves. So I want to make it easier to support this kind of protocol than just to ignore it. I also want to minimize the incompatibility with the existing standards. I'll go into a tiny bit of boring detail about that, but the health warning, I want to be upfront about this. There is a case of incompatibility with ANSI 95. it should be all right. And obviously I want this suggestion to be implementable. It's obviously no good if it's a marvelous thing, but you can't compile any code which uses it or something like that. So these are the design criteria. And here we go on what users have to do. So terminology again bites us because there are three classes of people, and I only have two words, implementers and users. So I'm going to be confusing. Sometimes the implementer is the implementer of the common Lisp system. Sometimes the implementer is the implementer of a sequence class that isn't list or vector. Sometimes the user is the person who is using the implementation to make a sequence class, and sometimes the user is the user of a sequence class itself. Sorry. If I get confused, then you'll notice. If you get confused, then ask me questions. So users, in this instance, means someone who is making a sequence class. And it's very simple. You subclass the sequence class. Well, it's a tiny bit more complicated than even that slide. You also probably want to include standard objects in the superclasses, otherwise your sequence won't have very much information. And once you've done that, you also write methods on the five functions, length, elt, set elt, make sequence like, and adjust sequence. And that's it. As long as your methods work, obviously, that's it. All the common Lisp sequence functions then work on your class. I will talk about that weird sequence prefix to those operators in a minute. But for the moment, remember that it's there, but don't worry about it. That's all you need to do to get a working class that you can pass to count or reduce or whatever, concatenate, merge. All of that, that's all you need. But in some cases, you want to do more. In fact, in most cases, you probably want to do more once you've got your thing up and running. In order to iterate efficiently, you can iterate more efficiently than a by-index thing, which is quadratic on this, like data structures. So there's a protocol that, again, you can write methods for, and then that you can recover the asymptotic efficiency. So there are six or seven generic functions in that protocol. And you can also, in this proposal, write methods on the, well, effectively on the sequence functions themselves. So if you have something that's a bit like a counted list, then you can write a clever method for count, and it will just look up the answer rather than computing it every time, for instance. Good. So I'll give you a quick example. This is the simplest possible sequence thing that I could think of that isn't already present. So, in fact, it's going to look very much like a list. But it knows a little bit more about itself. So there are no dotted pairs in this world. But on the other hand, a cons knows its length when it's treated as a sequence. And here is the class definition. It's a very simple class definition, but note that we're mixing in sequence and standard object. So we have to specify standard object explicitly, because otherwise it thinks we just want a subclass of sequence. Apart from that, the only complicated thing here is the reader for sequence length. But that's fine. That's just defining a method on that function, and with the specializer being one of these cons objects. And then we can do a little bit of bookkeeping on setFgoodr to keep the state of the length slot correct in all cases. And then we can define a constructor, simply does the relevant constructing. And I think this is not buggy, but when I was running the code this morning, I did fix some bugs, so there may still be some remaining, even in this simple case. So, health warning. The code in the paper is correct. So now we can call the common Lisp function length, and it will work. So this is part of the magic. I haven't said anything about the commonest function length in this slide, but the way that this protocol is designed, it's a bit like the Graystreams protocol. The commonest function length now works. Nothing else works. We get a bit more if we define some methods on sequence held and set sequence held, and they do the obvious things. I don't need to go through that code, do I? It's obvious. So that's enough now with those methods to support iteration that doesn't change the sequence structure at all. So again, there are these various different classes of sequence function, classes was a bad word, sets of sequence function which do different things and fill, sort, every, instantiate, count, find position, loop, don't change the underlying structure of the sequence. So they're all supported now. And the two distinct missing pieces that I've alluded to before, to make new sequences, to support things like the non-destructive operations like substitute, but copy-sec, sub-sec, coerce, that kind of thing. We define a method on makeSequenceLike, and it has those arguments, a length, and a couple of other twiddly bits.
So you create this const thing, okay?
Yeah.
Create this, and you're saying that your sort now works on this thing.
Yeah.
And it will even fix up the lengths for all the const cells, the new const cells.
Yes. Well, no, it won't, because it won't be doing a heap sort. It will set the elements. Sort is a bit of a special case. It's a valid question. The way that sort is defined to work by default is copy the sequence into a scratch vector, sort that, set the elements back. So I'm not mutating any pointers by default in sort.
But then you build it up again?
No, I mutate the existing... I have my sequence of whatever form, my cons. Copy the elements into a scratch vector, sort the vector, then element-wise set... Yeah? So we have makeSequenceLike, which has a sequence type and a sequence and a length and some ancillary things to do various special cases. And similarly, adjustSequence takes a sequence and a length and various special ancillary things, like mostly ignored for the purposes of writing these methods. You might need to do a little bit more work if you want certain extras to work. But what I've got here is actually enough for everything to work. Yes, so adjust sequence supports things like delete and delete duplicates. Hooray, we're there. As I alluded in my reply, Quite a lot of this now works very inefficiently and asymptotically inefficiently, because the default methods on all of these things can't possibly know about the linear access patterns of one of these cons objects. So the default methods act by index. So if you have one of these linear data structures like a linked list, that's no good. You can, as I mentioned, you can customize the protocol that I describe in the paper to get back asymptotic efficiency for your particular data structures. And you allow for customization of individual functions. All right, so the gory details about incompatibility... Jan.
And so what happens with the length if you build a tree with the consoles?
You can't. Or rather you can, but it will always be interpreted as a sequence. Okay, fair enough. If I made a circle or anything like that, then doom and gloom. Yeah. That's certainly right for having too simple an example. Fair enough. So, okay, yes, incompatibility. Make sequence. I'm pretty sure this was not intentional, but I was hardly born when Common Lisp was invented. So, makeSequence actually says that it will return either a vector or a list, and never, ever, ever anything else. That is the only incompatibility with the standard that I know. That this is the thing that I am proposing to kick out in the name of doing something a little bit more interesting. And I think that it's reasonable because, I've spoken to some people and no one knew that. And secondly, I'm pretty sure that I've never seen any code that depends on it either. However, you can look in, I wrote some code that depends on it just to prove that you can, and I wrote it up as CUDA 3. So if you care, please read that. But specifically, the type sequence in Common Lisp was never specified as being exhaustively partitioned by list and vector. It explicitly says list and vector are subtypes, disjoint subtypes, but not an exhaustive partition, or not necessarily an exhaustive partition. Now, of course, there is potential for confusion with user code, and code of like this Stefan Fu is obviously not going to work in this brave new world. Or rather, it will continue to work exactly as before if all you ever give foo is a list and a vector. But if someone tries to call your non-generic code with an exciting and generic new sequence thing, then it will lose. But that's kind of already the case. No common Lisp implementation that I know currently takes advantage of the idea that it can have more types of sequences. But that's not to say that someone in the future will think of a good way of doing it. But anyway, since I'm proposing to do this now for lots of implementations, maybe think twice before writing code a bit like that. Alright, so I implemented this for SBCF, my little personal project. So the SBCL community has a certain investment in fast, high-performance code, given enough type information. And the implementation of my proposal that I did preserves that property. So one of my explicit aims when I was implementing this proposal was not to change the performance characteristics of existing code. And that is, it turns out, is achievable. And the way that I did it is kind of obvious. All of these extra behaviors would previously have resulted in errors. So simply change the error case to do something a bit more exciting, and trampoline to something that does something useful. So I have two distinct functions. I have the commonness function length, and I have the sequence function length. And if I call the commonest function on a list or a vector, then I do use the existing list or vector code. And if I then have a sequence that is neither a list nor a vector, then I can trampoline to sequence length. I define an MIT loop path for integration with the loop macro. There was a certain small minor modification to CLOS to make it accept sequence as a valid superclass for standard class objects of classes of meta class, standard class. I probably got that all wrong. But the tricky bit in the implementation were the modifications to the type system. It turns out that you need to be a little bit careful because the compiler uses type B and subtype B. The SBCL compiler uses type B and subtype B quite extensively when it's doing all sorts of type inference. And so if it gets confused over what types are subtypes of what other types, then you end up not being able to bootstrap. So, but all of these things were relatively straightforward. I didn't spend too long in GDB staring at back traces. But okay, why two packages? Well, I hope that it's kind of obvious now, because I have this trampolining strategy. But I want also to accept that there are other ways and other communities with different priorities, different trade-offs. So I don't want to say, actually, that there are necessarily two packages. All I want to say is that there are two package names, Common Lisp and Sequence. And I claim that you can actually implement my proposal, for instance, in a very simple way, by having these symbols be EQL, actually the same symbol, common Lisp length and sequence length. If you were writing an implementation of Lisp from scratch, you could do this. So common Lisp length is sequence length, common Lisp count is sequence count. And then the protocol of the user, the class implementer, defining methods on the sequence qualified names would simply cause a method on the common Lisp name to be defined, and everything would continue working.
That's the final goal, but you can't have sequence as a nickname for the harmless package. And when the symbols
that's
are
true.
It's common Lisp. I agree, that's where we want
to go. No, but you can do this. Because you're right, you can't have sequence as a nickname for the common Lisp package. But what you can do is define, is export the length symbol from sequence and import it into common Lisp. And that is legal.
Not if you get one where you get common Lisp.
No. If you're writing an implementation from scratch, you start completely clean slate. You can make up your common Lisp package however you like. You can, specifically, you can of course have all of the common Lisp symbols interned in common Lisp and exported. But you can also, instead of interning directly in common Lisp, you can import from another package.
I just wouldn't call it sequence common length there, although that's the problem. It ultimately, if you fit the standard, it's got to be addressable as CL length, and that's how you think of it, even if it's got the wrong package name. That's a minor point.
We'll talk about it later. I'll carry on for now. But I mean, I'm going to continue claiming that I believe that. But there are other ways of implementing it. For instance, if you've got an existing implementation that gives you the ability to write advice on functions, you can have a def advice implementation, which would effectively wrap the existing functions, check to see if they're new and exciting, and if so, call, otherwise fall through to the existing common Lisp function provided by your Lisp implementation. And that kind of takes the inverted goal, or the inverted implementation strategy from the SBCL one, which trampolines only after it's exhausted the existing standard cases. And there's a little bit of a sucky implementation strategy that if none of these things is available to you, you can obviously redefine the entire world, shadowing as many symbols as you need, and that's fine until you want to interoperate with the extensible path names standard or the extensible hash table standard, at which point you are in combinatorial disaster zone and you lose. The real reason that that's bad is that you don't interoperate with code that knows nothing about this extension but has been written to be generic on sequences. Good. So there's a little bit of work to do. I suppose the zeroth thing to get done is to actually find someone to be brave, stick their neck out and use this, write some code that uses it. So there's a certain bootstrapping here, because obviously people will say, but I don't want to do this, it'll make my code unportable. So maybe 0.5 is also to see if any other implementations can see anything wrong with this, and if not, whether they can pick it up or at least have someone in their user community provide one of the implementations that I've described. There are some snags to sort out in the details of the proposals that are in the paper. What do you do? One issue, for instance, is there are things that look like sequences, but setElt would break an invariant of the underlying data structure. Something like a binary tree, for instance. If you have a binary tree with an order relation, and you want to set one of those elements to something that violates the data structure, then what's meant to happen? So maybe another question might be, is there a sub-protocol of this that has everything except those things that actually need the setter? I haven't really thought about that, but it might be interesting to find out.
How do you have a binary tree as a sequence?
Well,
I know it's a list, but it's a binary tree only in your mind. It still says list, right?
Actually you have an object. You have an object that uses the list. Or tree, rather.
So you have a protocol around it, but you don't really have a data type.
Well, except that there are existing libraries that have these objects already and that have sequence-like functions implemented as part of their library, like reduce. People like calling reduce on tree objects. Well, I'm sorry that that causes you pain. Nevertheless, people do.
They prune their trees. Huh?
So collections. People, when I mentioned this kind of idea, people said, well, why don't you do a collections API? And the answer actually is that, firstly, there's only one other kind of collection in Common Lisp, which is the hash table. And secondly, they don't actually share any interesting functionality at all in Common Lisp. So there wouldn't be anything to build on. The great win of this sequences stuff is that there is this huge sequences library that already exists. And then, you know, you can continue playing this game. We can find other things that users might want to subclass and proactively implement them. We already have function, and there are several competing stream protocols, you know, the great thing about standards and so on. But you might want to subclass number, or perhaps real. If you wanted to play with intervals or quaternions or you know, finite fields or all sorts of exciting things, and you know, you might consider mixing number and function together and getting church numerals and playing with those and adding them to other numbers. No problem, you can do that. There are some details to be worked out, and maybe it's not the most practical thing in the world, but it might be fun. A couple of resources. Well, I did this in SPCL. You can download the code. It's in there. It has been for the last 3 months, and no one has complained. So that's pretty good. We even have a manual. You will not find any details about this in the manual, partly because it's all in the paper, and secondly because I'm almost certain that people will come up to me and say, but you need to change this. This is a really brain-dead way of doing that. So I didn't want to give anyone a false sense of security. And then there's Pillar 3, which is really boring, but it does contain code that will break in any implementation of this. So all I want to leave you with is the thought that we could drag Common Lisp into maybe the late 1990s if we have a bit of fun and do a bit of work. Thank you very much. Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of hoping that people will go and read the tedious document and say, but no one would ever write that code, and then say, whoa, therefore this makes sense after all. It's absolutely pathological. You only discover that your implementation isn't actually obeying the contract if you're explicitly writing to test it. Paul Dietz hasn't come here, so I'm safe. Hooray.
How many implementers have voiced the interest in
I spoke to Bruno Heibel, who thinks this is good fun, Peter Graves, Raymond Toy, and, I mean, so that's four implementations so far.
Do you need implementations?
Sorry?
Do you need implementations?
Yes. Not everyone is deeply connected. Raymond Toy of CMUCL said this would be fun. Bruno Heibel of CLISP, Peter Graves of ABCL. And XCL, yes, that's four. So hang on, there was one other. Well, I can't remember. But anyway, so no one has really said.
Jeremy said yes.
Yeah, I was going to have the students start working on sequences next fall. So this is great.
Excellent.
The timing is perfect.
The way the standard works is that if an implementation does build itself as a defining sequences or a list vector, that is valid. So you will find some implementation that will have a lot of things built in that will not be easily communicable here. I'd like to ask another question about the beginning. This may be a side question, but I like the idea of getting an intellectual grasp around sequences and the places how they can be extended. But the first definition seems to have some problems. It's defined an ordered set, right?
I didn't really want to say set.
You don't,
finite,
right.
You finite check. Ordered collection right. is what I said, yeah.
Okay, and then ordered usually applies to the elements, not
yeah.
to the index. So we need to say it's index
ordered,
access.
Ordered, yeah, ordered on the index.
Third thing is the index starts at zero for Common Lisp, But I know in Fortran you can start the index at say minus one or plus two.
That is true. I'm mostly doing this in the context of Common Lisp. No, in fact, I'm entirely doing that in the context of
Common Lisp. Not to mention, you even changed your paper title, I thought.
I did, yes. These criticisms are fair. And actually, I should probably acknowledge some sources that they are in the paper, but realistically, not everyone will read the paper. So I should also thank Dylan and Factor and even Python, dare I say it, languages for some sources of inspiration for protocols in here. There are details that are different, and we can argue endlessly about the details, and that will be an awful lot of fun.
I was just a little bit worried that it might increase the general cognitive load on application programmers. If you could flip back to the slide where you define cons.
Yes, I will try. I will. It's a bit tricky. Somewhere around here. This one?
Yeah, so as I was reading the last definition there, the first thing that my brain said was, okay, cons is calling length, or cons is going to run in linear time. And then a few seconds later, I thought, with the cons, then length runs in constant time.
So that's right.
No problem. But then I thought, but the only reason I can actually see that this is not a linear time operation is because I know the concrete time.
That's true.
If I was just an application guy writing my own little function for my friends to call that uses sequence operations, will I be always worried that I don't have any idea what the performance characteristics are and what pattern of calls I should really be making?
Yes, but you have that already.
In spades, in Tom.
Oh, you might say that.
I mean, you're quite right. The flip side of extensibility is extensibility. You know, you can have some nasty person do some nasty thing. But at least with the sort of containment, if someone else writes a length algorithm that's for a data structure that runs in exponential time, as long as no one is stupid enough ever to instantiate one of these things, then that doesn't actually cause a problem. You would have to have two things happening for bad things to happen. Firstly, that you write some nice generic in the pre-process, some nice generic sequence code, and that someone else says, here is a really nice data structure that you should run Luke's algorithms on. And I think that's the only way when it falls apart. In practice, of course, when we write sequence code, we actually probably know which sequence data types we're most likely to be using it on. But, you know, we like to leave it open a little bit and let other arguments flow in.
I'm surprised you didn't address the two-vendor problem, where one vendor wants to extend sequence to get lazy extensions, and another vendor wants to get them for curvature tails. How do you adapt and mix subclasses of the sequence?
Okay. The three people problem. So if I can summarize, you have one exciting new sequence data structure over here. You have maybe even an around type, something that customizes, but on a mix-in basis. Mm-hmm. Sequence over here, and the question is, how do you know whether one of the ways I'm rephrasing your question is, how can you know whether it's safe to compose these things?
Yeah, a single customer gets from both vendors and tries to mix them together in the same image.
In some sense, I'm not addressing it because I don't have a pat answer. I think it's entirely possible that we will discover that there are ways in which you can make your sequence classes non-composable. I don't know them yet. I'll wait to see what happens, I guess.
Safe, I'd say, rather than non-composable.
Sure.
Might it be better to have another class, which is the one you can subclass rather than sequence?
Hooray.
That's the same question.
Almost the same question, and yes, you're entirely right. That's one of the Easter eggs. Congratulations. Martin is paying attention. Yes, there is a very good reason for that, and actually I had a long discussion with some of the reviewers over this point. There are actually multiple reasons that you might believe that this is a good idea, one of which might be things to do with the meta-object protocol consistency, but there's actually a very solid engineering reason for doing that, and it's that I'm very likely to make mistakes, or we as a community are very likely to make mistakes when we come up with our first draft of this need to be implemented if it is ever implemented anywhere else. And if we've subclassed sequence all the time, then we can't change it. Whereas if we have roads sequence, for sake of argument, then when we discover that I made horrific mistakes in the protocol, we can throw it out and have a Simmons sequence instead, and everything will continue to work. So yeah, absolutely.
It also removes the problem you have with having to hack twice, because you just have to hack it once.
Yeah.
That class to exist.
That's true. I mean, it can be much easier on the implementer. And actually, it solves a lot of problems in the type system as well, because various type P and subtype P algorithms, like the Baker one, suffer quite a lot from join points where you have multiple hierarchies in one class. And so, yeah, if you only have to do that once, it can make things simpler. So in some sense, I'm glad I did it the difficult way, but yeah, the easy way might have been easier in retrospect.
Okay, fair. Short one?
Short question, the answer might be long.
Thank you.
Can we discuss this during the coffee break? Okay, thank you.